Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game, the Abe TL Show, live from the Kia Studios here on a Sunday as afternoon turns to evening. You know, normally it's the NFL doing something to steal the thunder from all of the other sports. I got the Pro Bowl on, but no one's interested in that. All we can talk about is what happened in the NBA late last night, overnight, and into to morning. And to continue that discussion, let's head back out to the WadeFord.com hotline and welcome in Sean Devaney of Heavy.com. He's been on the station a number of times before. And look, I literally just texted Sean a couple hours ago, and so I didn't even really prepare a full interview. This is like a fact-finding mission here, Sean. Like, how does this happen? It seems so out of the blue in terms of the Lakers' preparedness to even field this call. And then I don't know what to say about Nico Harrison, the GM of the Mavericks. It feels like malpractice. It feels like a fireable offense. It feels like something that is just a stain on the resume, no matter how this happens.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, in finding out a little bit more about it, you know, you realize that this was Nico Harrison's call top to bottom, that this was not something that Jason Kidd went to him and said, you know, as a coach, I want Luka out of here. It's not something where Mark Cuban came down and said, I don't want to pay this guy, get him out of here. You know, there was nothing coming from below and nothing coming from above that was pushing this in this direction for the Mavericks, a team that went to the NBA Finals last year. You know, we're talking 1 year removed, and obviously they haven't played quite as well this year, and there are concerns, real concerns about Luka and health and all that sort of stuff. Still, this is one of the best players of his generation. And you know, to 25 years old, to trade him for Anthony Davis, who's going to be 32 next month, it's bizarre. And you know, there will be a lot riding on the next couple of the next couple of months for this Mavericks team, because, you know, with Kyrie Irving in his early 30s and now Anthony Davis in his early 30s, if they're going to win, they're going to have to do this really quickly, and it's not going to be easy. But there's a lot of pressure now on Nico Harrison, the guy who made the call on this.
Sean Devaney of Heavy.com, NBA columnist and analyst. Always appreciate his insight and his time. Is this it for the Lakers? Or are we looking at some other moves? I know there's been some theories, I guess, just because it's come out that LeBron was unaware that maybe he could be upset, frustrated, disappointed, and asked for a trade of himself. And then also, I know Austin Reeves has been kind of floated around as, hey, maybe the Lakers aren't done yet.
Yeah, it's there's no way that the Lakers are going to go forward with the front court that they have now. You know, Anthony Davis was the guy, and he was sort of a one-man show up there in the front court, you know, where they've patched through some power forwards, but they certainly don't have a center. Jackson Hayes is basically their only center at this point, and they don't want to play him for 30 minutes a night, that's for sure. So, yeah, they're in a position where they're going to have to make another move to try to bring in a big man. Certainly Austin Reeves is on the table now in a way that he hasn't been in the past, because you've got Luka Doncic, you've got some repetition of skill sets there, so you can afford to make a deal like that with Gabe Vincent back there. You've got sort of more of a pure point guard. You can play Gabe Vincent and Luka together, or have Gabe Vincent just be the backup there. So yeah, certainly Austin Reeves is on the table. I think Rui Hachimura is also on the table in terms of a trade. So yeah, the Lakers need to do something else here. There's no question. As far as LeBron goes, look, Anthony Davis had to sign off on this. He had to waive his trade kicker. So Anthony Davis had some indication this was happening before it happened. And if Anthony Davis knew, that means Rich Paul, his agent, knew. And because Rich Paul also represents LeBron, and really it's more LeBron's agency probably than Rich Paul's, LeBron knew about this. So yeah, this is something that, you know, there's been speculation, but there's no question that LeBron knew what was coming down. And he had to give a thumbs up along the lines here as well.
And so the Lakers are looking for some sort of center. And us here in Atlanta, we have one that is now sitting on the bench that we've been talking about for weeks, if not months, is a guy that we might be looking to be moved. And I don't think it would bring back Austin Reeves. But, Sean, is there any world in which the Lakers would have some interest in Clint Capella?
Yeah, I think there's no question they would. I think it would be, you know, their fourth or fifth option between now and Thursday. But, you know, considering how little time they have to work and how complicated these deals are because of the new rules with the aprons and the taxes and all that, all the new things that the league has put in to make trades a little bit tougher, yeah, the Lakers could wind up at Clint Capella. I, again, it's not their first choice. I think they'd rather get a Miles Turner, for instance, from Indiana. But look, they've only got one draft pick they can trade now. It's not till 2031. So, you know, you've really got a team. You got to have a team that's looking way into the future. You know, the Lakers included their 2029 pick in the deal for Luka. So now the next pick they have available to trade is 2031. So that's going to limit what they can get back. You know, in terms of bringing back a player. So, you know, if you're talking about, you know, maybe just trying to get rid of Rui Hachimura and maybe a couple of other contracts, you know, now maybe you're in Clint Capella territory. But, you know, they'd much rather get a guy like Miles Turner if it's possible, a guy like Robert Williams, perhaps, very injury prone, obviously, but very talented as well from Portland. You know, somebody along those lines. That's probably their first preference, but there's definitely a chance that they'll strike out with their first targets and wind up at Clint Capella.
Sean Devney at Heavy.com, very gracious on short notice to join us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Final question about this trade, and then I want to ask you about a couple of other NBA stories that are going on. When you look at Luka Doncic, obviously the hope is that he's going to have some impact on this season. He's been out for weeks, months now, really since Christmas with that calf concern. Is there any thought for the Lakers that he'll be able to return relatively soon?
Yeah, I think they are expecting him back, you know, maybe after the All-Star break, you know, let him get that rested up and then get him on the floor and ideally with the new center as well and go from there. So, yeah, I think there is some hope that they'll be able to get him on the floor sooner rather than later. You know, certainly in time for the stretch run in the Western Conference, where you know, it's going to be really, really tight, you know, in terms of making the playoffs, making the play-in. So the Lakers are going to want him out there as quickly as they can without obviously risking, you know, future injury as well.
I lied. I have one more question about this.
And sure.
For you, Sean, like just – now, I didn't get the news till this morning when I woke up. I don't know if you got it as it was happening last night or if you were like me, a regular bedtime. I know you have some kids. Maybe you went to bed early. But just like the – where does this stand in the world? And you've been covering the NBA 2-3 decades, maybe longer. Where does this stand in the realm of just completely unexpected, out-of-the-blue sort of moves? And just how shocked were you that it was really happening? It's so tough for me to understand the Mavericks, one of the five best players in the world, and they're just done with him. It's just befuddling. It really is.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking because you know, when I look back at certainly I've been doing this 25 years and the biggest trades that I've seen are all things that we heard about either exhaustively before they happened or at least we heard about a little bit before they happened. I think about Kevin Durant going to that trade to Phoenix. I mean, that is something that was about a year in the making. When the Knicks traded for Carmelo Anthony 10-15 years ago, you know, that was something that was months we were talking about that before it happened. You know, I think of the Lakers getting Pau Gasol way back 20 years ago. You know, that was something that that was, you know, a long time in the making that he wanted out of Memphis, et cetera. So, you know, I've not seen a trade of this magnitude sneak up out of nowhere and manage to stay under wraps. And it is something that only came together in the last couple of days, so it was a little easier to keep under wraps in that sense. But I've never seen anything this big happen this quietly and this quickly. This is really a remarkable, remarkable thing that these two teams have managed to pull off here, just in the fact that nothing leaked until it actually happened.
Sean Devaney, and you heard him. He's been covering the NBA for 25 years, Heavy.com NBA columnist. This trade is kind of overshadowing a discussion we've been having here in Atlanta in regards to Trae Young and the All-Star game. And a lot of people feel like Trae was snubbed, that he deserved to be an All-Star. This is not a new discussion. We had it last year. He was ultimately on the All-Star team as an injury replacement. Year before that, he was not on the All-Star team. You consider it a snub then. And obviously, what he was doing earlier in his career, 2 out of 3 years, he had an NBA All-Star start. And it's just kind of the factor of it. Like, someone's always going to feel like their guy was snubbed. I think Domantas Sabonis has an argument. I think Kyrie Irving has an argument. Those are some of the names I've brought up alongside Trae. What does he have to do to first off, do you think it was a snub? And then secondly, what does he have to do to maybe get past that in the eyes of the coaches? And is it just about the team? Like, if this were the 5 seed in the East instead of on an 8-game losing streak, would he be an All-Star?
Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to, is that you know, because the Hawks have historically struggled, it almost makes things harder for him, that you know, he doesn't just bear the brunt of whatever they're doing right now in the present. He also bears the brunt of the fact that they haven't won at a high level consistently with him, and so, you know, coaches will look at him and they'll look elsewhere to find somebody else because they feel like, well, they're under 500 again and it's his fault. You know, whether, and I actually think he's having a bit of a different season this year. You know, when you look at his assist numbers and how he's trying to get everybody involved, and you know, certainly they've had some stretches where they played great, and some stretches where, especially when injuries have hit, where they just really, really struggled. But you know, that's sort of where he stuck. So I think he kind of bears the brunt of the fact that as a franchise they have not made huge strides forward, and whether it's fair or not, that's he kind of carries that load, whether he deserves to or not, at least in the eyes of coaches who pick these reserves.
Sean, I'm sure it's been a busy day with what's gone down in the association. Thanks for joining me here on a little bit of short notice today.
Well, thanks for having me.
There you go. Sean Devaney, Heavy.com NBA columnist. One of my favorite guys to talk to when it comes to the NBA, and we're going to switch gears. And one of my favorite guys to talk to when it comes to soccer, Atlanta United analyst and broadcaster Jason Longshore on the other side. He's going to join us and break down what we saw in Birmingham and a bunch of other things as it relates to the Five Stripes. We are continuing. It's Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios. The Abe TL Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Abe TL Show. Coming to you live from the Kia Studios here. Going to try and connect with Jason Longshore here in just a moment. Going to send him a reminder text. And we might be having phone issues. Like the third guest, we're 0 for 3, 3 for 3, however it is, I think, on first rings. So we'll see if we can get Jason dialed up. I was talking some more with Bo Johnson. He's coming up following me at 6 o'clock. It sounds like he's got some opposing opinions here. And I'm going to see if I can get Bo to sneak in a little bit early, just a shade of crosstalk and get some thoughts on him. I know he's going to be talking a little bit of everything. Talking Braves, talking Rumble, I would imagine, all sorts of stuff. But we do want to go out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and welcome in Jason Longshore, Atlanta United broadcaster and analyst. Jason, first off, how was the trip, separate of the game, which I'll ask you about, how was the trip over to Birmingham?
Always a good one. I mean, I feel like we're getting pretty used to this almost every year. You know, it makes sense for preseason. It's a short enough trip. You can do it in a day and get back if you want to, if you're the team. Birmingham's a good city. Like, I really like the area around that stadium. It's a club that I think has a lot of room to grow. I think they do a lot of really good things, but in that stadium, I was talking to Mike Conte about this after the game. Like, I feel like they could be one of the biggest non-MLS clubs in the country. They really could. Like, all the pieces are there. I hope they get there. It was a good trip. It always is. I always enjoy my time over in Birmingham.
Now, I saw the match against Chattanooga. Of course, you guys were broadcasting it on radio and on the internet feed, the live broadcast. I did not get an opportunity to watch this game. Now, I know Atlanta United won 2-0. I know about the goals a little bit, but what can you say about the performance against Birmingham and where maybe you saw growth from the showing against Chattanooga?
Yeah, I think it's a few things. I mean, the team's fitter. You're a week further into preseason, so that's to be expected. Seeing progress is always good. I think that shows that the roster, the players are buying in to what Ronnie Dyla and his staff are wanting them to do. So you saw both of that. From a soccer perspective, I think what jumped out to me, and it ties back into fitness, you saw a much more consistent level of intense counter pressure. And I say counter pressure specifically because I think at times we just lump pressing and pressure all together in one. Counter pressure is specifically when you lose possession. So it's not what we've seen from Philadelphia and Red Bulls and other teams that don't want possession, play long to try to win the ball back higher up the field. They're not trying to build up the play to get there and connect passes. They're just launching it long and then trying to win the ball back. Atlanta wants to build up. They do want to get forward a little bit quicker this year. I think if you're thinking goals, and possession numbers are never an exact science, but instead of having 60% of the possession, which is something Atlanta United has often kind of wanted, you're probably more about 55. You want more of the ball than the opponent, but you want the game played in the other team's half. The counter pressure is such an essential part of that, because when you connect your team from back to front and you get forward and you get numbers into the attacking half, when you lose possession, and it's going to happen, every team has a wayward pass, every team goes for a dribble and it doesn't come off. If you are all around the ball and you're organized and you're committed to it, you can win the ball back really quickly, because the other team is not stable after they win the ball back. So you win the ball back quickly, and then you can get to goal again. It's something that you go back to the classic Dutch teams, they were great at. You go back to the classic Barcelona teams under Pep Guardiola, they were great at. It's a hallmark of a possession team that we overlook often, but you have to have that element too. We didn't see that in Chattanooga as much, and I really do think it was down to just early days in fitness, because if you're going to be a vertical team, if you're going to be a team that wants a lot of the ball, and you're going to be a team that's intense with counter pressure, you better be ready to run. You better be fit. And this team, it was fitter yesterday against Birmingham than they were against Chattanooga the week before.
Jason Longshore, Atlanta United broadcaster and analyst, joining us here on the ABTL show, courtesy of the WadeFord.com hotline. Obviously, the big news here, Jason, is Miguel Almiron, and he's just getting back and situated with the team. And some of my questioning about Miggy goes down to, where is he going most likely to actually play in the formation? And then separate of other potential additions that might be coming this week, which we'll talk about in a moment, what changes in the attack with Almiron up top, potentially with Saba and another piece?
I think it's going to be something that isn't static, and this is just my early guess on it. I think once Ronnie Dyla gets to see what Miguel Almiron does up close and how he fits into this team in terms of, relationships, and, does he, very quickly, it's just an example, does he, quickly form a really strong partnership with Pedro Amador on the left? Well, maybe you want to play them on the same side. Does he connect really well with Brooks Lennon on the right? And I know both of them are out at the moment, but maybe you want to play him more to the right. He can play anywhere across the front three with the exception of the number nine position. So if we're talking about a 4-2-3-1, which is more than likely going to be the base for this team, two holding midfielders behind a 10, a left wing, a right wing, a number nine. Almiron can play as the left wing, he can play as the right wing, he can play as the 10. And I think he'll play in, whether it's from the start or just in the match, I think he'll play across all of those positions. I don't want to, and I know it's what we all do in this in terms of formations. I think the way that Ronnie Dyla wants to play, and I think that honestly the way the game is going, and this is just kind of a global trend, I think formations and locked in positions, with a couple of different exceptions like the nine, like goalkeeper, things like that, I think versatility and fluidity is becoming more and more important. So we saw yesterday, for example, and maybe this is a tell, that Saba Lobjanidze played off of the left to start when he came in the second half, but he ended up on the right side plenty in the game.
Yeah, I think that was probably more
on the right and moves to the left, it's going to happen.
Yeah, that was kind of more where I was headed with the direct, is because Miggy has historically, both here and overseas, been a right-sided player.
Not here, no.
When he went to Newcastle, he's been almost entirely on the right.
And he went all over the place at Newcastle, and that's the thing about him, and that's the thing about a player like him, is he's a left-footed player. He's not the old-school, prototypical, and for a lot of people, like David Beckham would be this example, right-footed, put him on the right wing, have him whip crosses in.
Right.
You don't want Almiron just to play on the left to whip crosses in. Do you want him on the left, maybe tucking inside a little bit more and getting on his left foot and going to goal? Sure. Do you want him on the right, cutting in on his left foot and going to goal? Sure. Can he play as a 10? Yeah, he did that here more often than not. He was a 10. Towards the end of Tata Martino's run with Almiron, he played in a really free role, like as a second forward. So it was almost like a 3-5-1-1 in that playoff run where he could go wherever he needed to go to find the game. I think Dyla is going to play a back four. I think he's going to play two holding midfielders. So when you start thinking about where Almiron starts, could be on the left wing, could be on the right wing, could be in the middle. Moranchuk could be in any of those spots as well. I don't see Saba as much as a 10, but he can be on the right or the left. So
yeah,
is it matchup based? Is it, you know, just the way the game takes you? All of the above. I don't think he's going to be locked into one spot and only that spot all season long.
The other aspect of this here is this is seemingly not the only addition to be made, and it's Jason Longshore, Atlanta United broadcaster and analyst. I don't know if we want to get into the specifics of names being involved here.
We can.
All right, so like the Latte Lath deal seems like it's very likely to happen potentially this week. $22 million has been reported, and who knows if it's more than that or less than that. Different teams are going to have different takes on the money. I'm not really concerned about the money. I just hope it happens. Let's say you do get Latte Lath here. It feels like you have now put together, and I'm going to ask you about Matthias Klick as well, because I'm a big fan of that move. But separate, it just feels like you've now put together a team you think you can win this whole thing with.
I think if you get Latte Lath or another number nine of that kind of caliber, but yes, it is sounding like it's going to be Emmanuel Latte Lath. Updates today, and I wanted to double check because they're seemingly coming in on an hourly basis at this point. Middlesbrough is very close to a couple of different potential signings, which makes you think that they're very confident in getting this deal over the line. Middlesbrough's window to add players closes tomorrow at 11 o'clock local time in England. So they're going to want to get those additions done with an understanding that the Latte Lath deal is going to get done. Now, the Latte Lath deal could get done after their incoming window closes. So if it's not done by tomorrow dinner time, don't panic. It's just that's the window for incoming in England. If Middlesbrough gets the replacements done that they're linked to today, that's a really good tell that they're going to get the Latte Lath sale in. There's even reports that he's already in Atlanta. Those are bubbling up out of Middlesbrough today. You get him, you add Almiron, you add it to Moranchuk, who should be better this season with more time. You add Dyla into that mix. You add a full season of Pedro Amador. You add Matthias Klick. Yeah, I mean, you should not be afraid of saying this team is an MLS Cup contender.
Now,
that should not be something that feels like a stretch.
Let me talk to you here about Klick, because, Jason, I know sometimes you're sitting there as you're getting ready to call the game. You might be listening to our pregame show, the Five Stripes Countdown. And every time that we faced DC, it was Benteke can't get open in the box, and the one guy who can't serve him the ball is Matthias Klick. And this guy had, 16 assists last year, and it's not a huge name in terms of familiarity, but very impressed with the production last year. And so I'm very excited to get him into the lineup as well. And is this a guy you see into the starting lineup? I mean, you're starting to get short on open spots when you're adding in Miggy, you're adding in potentially a striker up top, and obviously you got Fortune, who's taking a step forward. I mean, not a lot of spots to go around. So how do you see Matthias Klick fitting into all this?
I think he plays a lot. I think out of those four central midfielders in this group, and we'll leave Will Riley to the side, homegrown signing, back as a pro after coming up to the academy. He's been playing more as the 10, kind of the reserve to Moranchuk here in preseason. I think he'll play a good bit with Atlanta United too this season. But the other four, Klick, Sleash, Muyamba, and Fortune, for two spots. That's four guys, two spots. All are capable starters. I think Sleash is the one to play the most minutes out of that. And this is barring injury, of course. I think he's going to be the essential one to hold things down in that midfield. I think Klick will more than likely play the bulk of the big minutes after that. I mean, Fortune's going to play plenty. And, you know, Dax McCarty said it after the last game last year that Fortune was one of the three or four best players for the team last season. I would agree. I think he's got more to give. He's going to have to compete for that time. Tristan Muyamba, who came in and was great at the end of 2023 and kind of fell off a little bit last year, he's going to have to compete for that time. So you're going to have competition there. You're going to have competition on the wings as well. I like not just the big name acquisitions. Click is a designated player salary in this league. DC is going to be paying him as such. You added him, and he's not a designated player on your roster. You look like you're adding two more designated players. You got Moranchuk last summer. You've got a bunch of guys that are, you know, up there and have been technically designated players, like Sleash, like Saba, like Gregerson. This team is, like, maxed out to go win now. That's how they're built. And I think Click will be a really big part of that with those assists. I think he's going to be an essential part of that central midfield.
And then final question for you, Jason, and I only got about 30 seconds here. Are there any other, because we've been so focused on Atlanta United, what they've added, are there any other significant transactions around the league this offseason that people should be aware of?
There's a lot bubbling up right now, and it's because of that rule change with clubs being able to buy players for cash within the league. Dejan Jovalic going from Galaxy to Sporting Kansas City. Luciano Acosta might be leaving the league from Cincinnati. That would have a huge impact. Evander might go from Portland to Cincinnati. That would be a huge move. I think there's a lot that is going to happen over this next week to 10 days. And, of course, I'll be talking about it on Atlanta Soccer tonight.
And you can listen to that on Tuesday evenings right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Jason Longshore, Laney and I, broadcaster and analyst. He and Mike Conley are going to have the call in a couple of weeks of Atlanta United and Dallas on February 15th. So 2 weeks from now, Saturday. Coverage will start at 11:50 a.m. for a noon-ish kickoff. Jason, thanks so much for joining me. Appreciate it, as always.
Thanks for having me on.
There you go. Jason Longshore. Always love chatting soccer with him. And I'm getting excited about the season, man. Like, I know it's coming up, and I got pre and post for United, the Five Stripes. But, man, like, they're doing some things that are opening some eyes. Even to people who aren't diehard Five Stripes and all that, the 17s, whatever, people are going to have to pay attention because this is a team that could bring a championship once again to Atlanta. All right, one segment left to go. We're going to hand things off to Bo Johnson after that. We might hand things off with Bo Johnson here in a little bit, and we'll also talk about some big news that just came down in the NFL. I know we've been all focused on the NBA. Some stories in the NFL going on as well. We got you all covered. Coming up more in 5 minutes on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. We'll get back in. Final couple minutes. 92.9 The Game. It's all over. Stop the fight. The NFC has won. Well, is winning. 76-63. It's like the halftime score of the All-Star game out there at the Pro Bowl. 76-63. Now, we could be going the other way. Now, they already dumped the water or Gatorade or whatever they're going to dump on Eli, who I think is the coach of the NFC. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, make sure you win the game. Like a Kentucky LSU situation brewing. Like, don't dump that Gatorade early. We'll see how this plays out. I don't know how fast. Like, are there onside kicks in the Pro Bowl? You can't even get onside kicks in the real NFL.
You got to announce it first, right?
Well, but then it'll kick? Are they doing, like, the weird 4th-and-20 bit? Like, how do you onside kick in flag football? I think you just have to go for it on, like, 4th down. Like, I think that's how they do it, which has been a proposal for the NBA. Anyways, Dallas Mavericks have not handled the Luka Doncic news overly well. And I don't, like, mean in the short term. I mean, like, literally today, they lost by 43 points. The game just wrapped up. 144 for the Cleveland Cavaliers to 101. 144 to 101. And so I don't know about that defense just yet for Nico Harrison. I guess AD didn't play today, and so maybe the defense is on the way because you're going to need a lot of D to get the Cavs down from 144 to 101 where you were. Kyrie didn't play either, so, you know, whatever. They took a day, all right? Like, everyone who's sitting here, like, every once in a while, you just need a personal day. The whole Dallas Mavericks team needed a personal day today, okay? Got a lot of stuff going on back at home that I got to deal with. And that's kind of how it went for the Mavericks. I got Bo Johnson hanging out here with me. Bo Johnson Experience coming up next. 6 until 9?
6 to 9, yeah.
Whole 3 hours. Again, I had planned slightly a different show today. It obviously made at least part of the rundown for Andy and Randy tomorrow. Like this is a huge story in the NBA, and you seem more open. And like, obviously, everyone wants to jump immediately and have a take. Like, that's kind of what we're paid to do, and try and think some stuff out and try and have a take. Because like, radio's not fun if we're just like, we'll see how it plays out down the road. Like, you can't, that can't be a show. You're more open to the Mavericks are doing this for a reason, so, and they're not morons.
Would that be, am I being devil's advocate if I have an opinion that favors the Dallas
you're
Mavericks
only devil's,
in this situation?
So, but here's the thing. No.
This devil's advocate would be taken up for the bad guy or whatever.
You're only devil's advocate if you're only doing it because of my stance. You came in with your stance, so you're not devil's advocate. You're an opposing view, sir.
Yeah.
But you're not devil's advocate to my stance, because you're not saying it just because where I stand. You're saying it because of where you want to stand on this.
Yeah, and look, we'll get more a little bit more into it in the first segment here. And if you know, and if it draws out longer than that, so be it. But I honestly think, you know, for one, Eric Slaughter had a great point earlier. There has to be something behind the scenes that you may see come out on TMZ next week. Or about either him being a crappy teammate or something. But
man, look, do you know how bad of a teammate you'd have to be to be one of the five best players in the NBA?
He's hurt right now, and the Mavericks honestly believe that he's hurt right now because he can't stay in shape.
Sure.
Now,
and that might be fair.
Yeah, and if he's having this much trouble staying in shape and staying on the court, I'm not going to give this guy $350 million.
And that's also fair.
You know,
you also got to find.
Now, he may get $400 million from LA. He can't get that.
He can only get whatever it is. I forgot the numbers. $116 million less than what he could with the Supermax. So he gets 270 or whatever the number was. It doesn't matter. Here's my problem, though, with everything you're suggesting. Mm-hmm. All of that might be accurate from the Mavericks' point of view. I have no problem with that. If you're Nico Harrison, you call one team? Like, if this is true.
Also strange.
You call
why didn't
one
they
team?
Shop him? Maybe they didn't want him to know that he was being shopped. Or maybe
all of these are
something...
weird. But all of these lead to a weird discussion, right? Because I don't disagree with you. If there's a situation where the Mavericks are saying, hey, we're not going to give this guy a Supermax, so what exactly are we doing here? It's a fair conversation to have. But you call one team? like that is so weird.
Maybe they felt they were
AD's the
AD
best?
Away from making a run this season. They're pushing the chips in for a run this season.
Well, they have to
AD
because
Kyrie's
almost over the hill.
Neither one of them, and AD's even hurt right now too. So you basically just had two NBA superstars that are neither one are on the field on the court just get traded for each other. Now AD's supposed to play next week. I think Luka 2 weeks, something like that.
One of the funnier things, and again, he may not play. I totally get it with the Luka injury. But one of the funnier things to me was you and I were talking before the show, and you said they were in the finals last year. Now they're the 9 seed because this guy can't play. I'm like, yeah, but also that's how good he is. This team is a 9 seed that was in the finals when he does play.
But he's not available.
No, I know. You know? I'm just saying, like, in general. The biggest issue for me is just, like, Luka Doncic, however you feel about his diet and nutrition and desire to be one of the best, whatever. He is one of the five best players in the NBA. That is
correct.
Not up for debate.
Went on the court.
And so now you're projecting that he can't continue to be one of the five best.
Or at least they think that he can.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you get that right, by the way, and if he turns into like another Zion Williamson who just can't stay on the court. Now, Zion never proved it is the difference. Luka's like a 3-time All-NBA first team. Luka's proved it.
Yeah.
Now, you could be right, and Luka could fall off of that level that he's at, but man, if you're wrong, and Luka, with or after LeBron, continues to be that dude, you're going to look dumb for not having given him the max, supermax, whatever. You're going to, there's just so many more ways this backfires on you. because you don't get any credit unless you actually win with AD.
Correct. Yeah. No, they have to win this year, or they got to make the playoffs. They're in ninth place right now. Yeah. So, but Luka hadn't been available.
Here's the other thing. This trade does not impact the Trey Luka discussion, in my opinion. Like, this isn't like definitive proof that the Hawks won the decision.
No, that's kind of a
weird
strange angle that people are
everyone
taking.
Wants
just
to
because
tie
it
in.
Traded. Yeah. I don't understand how that means it.
Now, on the flip side, I also don't think. I think Luka's ahead in this decision anyways. But people don't want me to say that. I also don't think, like, if Luka goes to the Lakers and wins a title with LeBron, that's definitive proof for him either. Because he didn't rebuild the franchise, correct, which is what we're asking Trey to do. I think the discussion is now dead. I don't think either side had a winner.
And there doesn't have to be.
No. Here's the thing. Ultimately, Trey could become a winner in that discussion because he could at some point build this franchise to a championship.
Stop hating on him.
I don't think Luka can ever win the discussion at this point. Because his part of it.
LeBron leaves. Maybe if LeBron retires.
But he wasn't
Now he'll probably play again.
But the question was, you were asked to single-handedly jumpstart a franchise. He took that franchise to the finals. And they're moved away from him. I don't know, like, anything Luka does from here on out is not part of this discussion, in my opinion, because it was about building the Mavericks around this guy versus building the Hawks around that guy. Yeah. So Trey still has arguments he can make, right? Continuing to build and potentially leading the Hawks forward. There's no more evidence from Luka in regards to that. So there you go. Couple of things I'm sure you're going to talk about. Braves offseason. It's one of those things where people are frustrated that maybe they didn't spend more money. To me, it's one of those things where the way baseball is gone, it just in recent years, I'm still optimistic and hopeful that because it's still, at this point, a get-hot-at-the-right-time league.
100%.
And this team still feels like you can get through the early part of the season, no Strider, no Acuna, when they come in and they round into form and whatever, and you hope that they're good, and you hope Olsen's good, you hope Riley's good, you hope Ozuna doesn't have a big slump, and you hope Profar comes in and does what he did last year. And it's just like, I don't know, man, like get to the playoffs and you have like Strider and Cy Young winner Sale and Reynaldo and Schwellenbach, whose numbers were crazy.
A great team.
Yeah, like,
they have a great
team.
Just
get to the playoffs and see what happens.
No, actually, we're going to talk about this. It's why are people so mad at Alex Anthopoulos? All right, it's almost like people have forgotten that 4 years ago they won the World Series with this.
He's also been so much more active midseason deadline than he's ever been. Really,
and you're silly to think that he would have ever given Max Fried 1, 8 years and $27 million a year. He's done what he's needed to do with what he has. And we still have a great team. Please don't forget, people out there, that 1 through 9, everybody got hurt last year. We're going to talk about it. We're going to get more into it.
Let me ask you, because you obviously I know we're running out of time here, but this Atlanta United stuff, man. Like, you obviously add Miguel Almiron. You got this Latte Lath on the precipice here. And I don't talk to you a ton about Atlanta United. I don't know if you're a huge fan, kind of a conversational fan, or obviously you pay attention for work. I know that. But, like, are you starting to get to the point where you're like, man, and I might want to, like, start watching this team. This team feels like it could be something.
Feels like they could be on the precipice of making another run, doesn't it? So
It feels like they're building the opportunity for another group of people who are borderline fringe fans to really buy in this season.
And I think bringing back Miggy is a big, the key to that. You know, now, what is he, 31 or 30 at this point? 31?
He just sounds young to me. I don't know.
Does it?
I'm almost 40, so yeah.
Well, and I'm sounds older, young and to I'm, me. And I'm much older than you are. Not much, but I'm not also trying to run up and down a soccer field, you know, twice
a
week.
Every once in a while, you know.
Well,
I ran up and down a mountain today. My legs and Achilles are paying for it. That's all right.
They're going to feel real good.
What else we got on the Bo Johnson experience? Royal Rumble?
We're gonna talk about what happened last night at the Royal Rumble. We're gonna talk about this trade that happened today. Look, we're gonna talk a little bit about the Pro Bowl. I know people are hating on it, and it looks like our MVP has been decided. The NFC completely ran away with the AFC. I don't know if you watched any on Thursday. I watched the whole thing on Thursday.
Yeah, it was 14-7 after Thursday, yeah. Which is a thing.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the Pro Bowl. We're going to get into the Super Bowl because, you know, next week at this time, Super Bowl is about to kick off, but coverage starts here on 99 The Game at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So next 1 week removed, 1 week from
5 hours into discussion.
We're getting ready for the Super Bowl. So I don't have another show until then. So we're going to talk about Super Bowl a little bit too.
All right. Bo Johnson Experience coming up for the next 3 hours, 6 to 9 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 99 The Game. So make sure you stay tuned for my guy, Bo, to handle the next couple hours. Want to thank Eric Slaughter for his work earlier. Want to thank Dom Chorosky for his work a little bit more recently. Want to thank each of my guests, Luke Easterling, Sean Devaney, and Jason Longshore. Want to thank the listeners as well. Had a couple of tweets throughout the show. Appreciate you guys tuning in. That's going to do it for me here on the Abe TL Show. If you want to hit me up after hours, at Abe Gordon on Twitter. Stick around. Bo is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.